Good morning. Good to see everybody out this morning. Hallelujah. I'm excited about some things that the Lord has been showing me. Thought that I might get to share a little bit of it last Wednesday, but that didn't happen, so we got another chance at it here. Hallelujah. There's always another chance. Glory to God. So if you would turn with me to Romans 5. This first part will be just a bit of review for some, but I want to make sure that everybody's kind of on the same page. Romans 5 and 12. Okay, and it says this, and this is a bit of a review, but it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. So what we see here is that the law of sin and death comes in through Adam. That's what he's speaking about. The law of sin and death comes in and begins to affect all of humanity. Not just one, not just some, but all. And that we've all been affected by this. We've all seen the results of this. We've all seen a world that has gone awry. And we've all lived in a lost and fallen world as a result of what happened at what they call the fall. And we see that back in Genesis 4 that it didn't take long after the fall for the sin to begin to have an effect in each and every person. What does it say in Genesis 4, verse 7? It says that, you know, that he's beginning to speak to Cain. He said, sin is crouching at your door. Sin is crouching at your door. And what he's trying to convey there to him is that there is sin here and it is abounding. And maybe you don't quite see it because it's just outside the boundary. But you have to recognize that a doorway is also not only a boundary, but it's a place of access. And so sin is right there and it has access. And you've given it access. And if you'll be master over it, you don't have to let it have access. But what he's trying to convey there is that sin is prevalent all around. And what did we see? We saw jealousy. We saw rage. We saw murder all begin to happen because we're now living in a fallen world. Those are the things that the condition of what we've known, what we've experienced, the condition that we were brought up in. We don't know what it was like because we've not experienced it, what it was like before the fall. But when we begin to contemplate those things, that's what God is restoring us to. Because he's a God of restoration. He's looking to restore us to the point where we were before the fall. So that's something that we're going to look into here in just a little bit. But we have to recognize that in this place that there's a battle for your mind that is going on. See, sin wants to come to destroy. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sin comes to destroy your life. Sin comes to steal and take from you whatever it can. So oftentimes that when we enter into sin, we're looking at something that looks attractive. But unfortunately, the other side of it begins to show its true nature. So when we begin to understand that, okay, this momentary pleasure all of a sudden has come back to bite me. And what happens? We enter into torment. We enter into fear. We enter into pride. It begins to affect that we enter into unbelief or disbelief about what God has said. We enter into a whole realm of things that begin to affect our state because of the sin issue in our life, whatever that is. Do you recognize that sickness and disease is really just based in a sin issue? Not necessarily always yours, but somebody's. Poverty comes about because of sin issues, oftentimes. Not necessarily yours, but because somebody decided they were going to steal from you, or somebody decided they were going to lord it over you and keep you from achieving what was rightfully yours. Sin wants to destroy. Romans 3:23 tells us this, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Dave says it like this, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. But that's the whole point of that is that there's a reality there. It's not just affecting one of us, it's affecting all of us. It's in the nature that we got born with when we stepped into this world. Galatians 3 and 10 tells us that because of that, we were moved in and put under a curse. Because see, if we don't abide, when we don't abide by the law, we're put under a curse. If we don't fulfill every facet, and we already know no one's fulfilled all the facets except one, being Jesus. So this is the sadness of our state. And the law came to be a schoolmaster. The law of Moses, that being the law of Moses, because we're dealing with two different laws. We're dealing with the law of sin and death and the law of Moses. The law of Moses came as a schoolmaster to teach us of our need for a Savior, to begin to reveal to us just how lost we really are and what we actually need. To reveal to us that we have to have someone who can come, who steps outside of the system to begin to bring us back into restoration. To bring us back to the place where we were before the fall. But it can't come from within us, because within us is just this old nature. This old law. The devil wants to steal from you, because if he knows that if he can degrade you enough, you'll stop fighting. You know, that's how mind control is actually done. They will systematically break you down. They will systematically degrade you and humiliate you and cause issues, torment and strife and those sort of things into your life, and do it on purpose to bring you to a place where they control your mind, because you won't have a conscious thought anymore. All you do is just respond like a robot to what they've actually told you to do. The devil's trying to work the same system. And he only has to do it just enough to get you to buy into it. Then you'll follow it from that point forward until something else happens in your life. But the good news is there's something else to happen in your life. Okay? So now that we've reviewed the sad state of things, I want to tell you that we've been missing something as Christians. Let's turn over to Romans 10. We've been missing something. The good news is that we see something. I see something that in all the things that I've ever looked or talked and all the things that I've believed, I see a little bit of something that's just a little different, and it makes all the difference. So here we go. Romans 10, verse 4 begins to show us something here. It says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So for Christ is the end of the law of sin and death, for righteousness to everyone who believes. I'm putting in the law of sin and death in there. He's the end of the law of sin and death. What else does it say? Because see, what we're beginning to say is that we're not left to our own battle here. God has already put something in place. He's already put something in place for you. Romans 8, 2. The law of sin and death says God's putting an end to it through Christ Jesus, through that righteousness that was in Christ. This begins to confirm it right here, because he says right here in verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death." The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. I want you to just think about that for just a moment, because see, that's where we want to camp today, is the law of the Spirit of life. Because the law of the Spirit of life begins to change the nature of how we look at everything that we're around us, how we look and respond to what's going on. A couple of weeks ago, LaRouche taught about the law of Spirit of life coming into this place and dealing with the sin and death in our body. Today, I want to talk about dealing with in our soul. See, the law of sin and death affects us in every area. But see, it affects us especially in our soul. Well, when you look at it this way, what happens when we sin? What happens? Where does sin originate in us? It originates in our soul. Why? Because our body can initiate certain issues and certain desires. Our body will carry out certain issues and certain desires. But it's in our soul that it was originally conceived. The original sin was conceived in our soul, in our mind, in our will, and in our emotions. When our mind is set on sin, then the body is going to sin. The flesh, when he speaks about the flesh, so much of the flesh that he speaks about is really not so much the physical body, but the mind, the will, and the emotions, because those are the things that come into alignment with whatever we're presenting it. When we present it to the law of sin and death, then what it is going to do is produce sin and death. But when we present it to the law of the Spirit of life, and now your soul has the opportunity to begin to replicate and to look for and to begin to create and come into concert with the life that is in your spirit. Because every one of you, when you are born again, you stepped into a newness of your spirit. You stepped into a newness of life. But every one of us has had that struggle of what to do with this soul. Every one of us has had that struggle. I've got this newness of life and it's telling me, no, I shouldn't do that. No, I shouldn't do that. No, I shouldn't get another brownie. But oh my God, this brownie looks good and it tastes great. And then there's another brownie after that. And then there's another brownie after that. And then there's just an empty pan. It works for me. And then there comes the pain and the suffering of, oh, I ate too many brownies and now I got this sugar buzz going on. My head is hurting and my body feels sickly. And there's a result to our sin. There is a result of our sin. And it doesn't matter what the sin issue is in our life. It doesn't matter whatever the issue of darkness is, because no matter whether it's a major addiction or just a minor infraction, it's all sin. But God has given us a new way. He's given us a spirit of life in Christ to deal with this thing. He's given us a new law in our members to deal with this thing. Because see, when we begin to recognize that I'm not just relying on me and I'm not just relying on what I've always done, but I can begin to trust and call forth the spirit of life that was in Christ to be in me. I can begin to embrace the spirit of life that is in Christ, because as I embrace that spirit of life in Christ, certain things begin to happen. They begin to change my relationship with the world around me. Hallelujah. Let's give you a little more background. Romans 6. Let's just go to verse 2. I'm going to just grab a couple of verses here. Go to verse 1 so it makes sense. What then shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. So we've been dead to sin. We've been declared dead to sin. When you accepted Christ into your life, there's an automatic imputation to your life that you are dead to sin. God imputed that into your life, and now it's just like a credit card. You can begin to call upon the result of that. He said, you're dead to sin, and now I'm giving you a new path to life. I'm giving you a new pathway into the spirit of life, because of the spirit of life that's in Christ is going to deal with that dead sin nature. It's going to deal with that old fallen nature. It's going to begin to call forth something that the old nature doesn't have an answer for. Verse 6. Knowing that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Our old self was crucified with him that our body of sin might be done away with. See, the old self is what we're dealing with. That old self is being enforced by an old law. The law of sin and death is what the old self was rooted in. That's what gave it its power. That's how the enemy began to take advantage of you, was because of this old law of sin and death being inflicted upon you because of this old self nature that was there. But see, God is putting something new in front of us. It's interesting to note, and if you will turn to Colossians 3, you know, we've not been left with our own battle. And we're not at the whim of every emotion that comes our way. We're not at the whim of every thought that happens to flow through our mind. We need to erase the victim mentality that we've operated in. We've allowed something that to take root and to take place that legitimately doesn't have a right there anymore. You know, we want to blame it on, well, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil can't make you do anything. It doesn't work that way. It's not within his capacity. Remember what we talked about earlier. It says sin was crouching at your door. It's you who gives it access. It's you who opens or closes the door. We have the ability to keep it on the outside. But when we open the door, when we begin to look and understand that, hey, maybe this looks a little more attractive than I thought, we're opening the door. But we've been given something that gives us an answer so that we're not just left to just our emotions to battle this thing. When it's not left to just our consciousness to battle this thing. It's not just even in our belief system to battle this thing. Hallelujah. Verse 3 of chapter 3 says, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." When that happens, certain things begin to happen as a result. And verse 5 tells us the result. "So therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." Knowing that all those sort of things are part of the old self. But knowing that also this is that if you're trying to put off of those things without understanding who you are, you're putting yourself into a big struggle. You got to understand that you're first a born-again believer. You're not just some sinner saved by grace, but you're a born-again believer who has the nature of Christ within them. And because of that, the holiness and righteousness that is within Christ is within you. And because of that, not only is the holiness and nature of Christ within you, but this law, the new law, the law of the Spirit of life is within you. When we see that, now the law of the Spirit of life can begin to dictate a whole new set of circumstances, a whole new set of ideals in our thought process. Because we're not left to do this out of our own strength, because we can do this by enforcing and acknowledging the law of the Spirit. Verse 9 here. Says that, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices." All those things that we just talked about a little while ago. "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a new true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him." According to the image of the one who created him. We've found great restoration and transformation. Simply by acknowledging, as it says in Philemon 6, by acknowledging the Lord and all His goodness, all that He's placed within us. But see, there's a transformation that the Holy Spirit begins to work with. He's not just transforming us to a new nature. He's transforming us based on the new law. The law of the Spirit of life. He's enforcing the new nature with a new law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. When we begin to see that, we begin to call upon that, we begin to invite that in, now God can begin to deal with age-old strongholds within us, because there's something greater than the stronghold that's been given to you, and that's the Spirit of life. Not very big. Maybe I'll do this one. Aha. There's a thing called gravity. And when gravity works, things fall. But every one of us has been in something that's heavier than air, called an airplane. Because there's another law called lift that affects that airplane and allows something that's heavier than air to begin to rise up. The law of the Spirit of life is greater than the law of sin and death. And because of that, it begins to cause you to rise up in the Spirit. And as you rise up in the Spirit, now you can begin to see and ascend into the places you're supposed to be. And as you see and ascend into the places you're supposed to be, now your nature can be changed. Not because you're doing the changing, but because you're allowing it. And because you've been placing yourself before the glory of the Father, and when you place yourself before the glory of the Father, change is going to happen. You can't help yourself when you stand before Him. The change is going to happen. When you come into the glory of the Father, because you've risen up by this virtue of this law of Spirit of life, when you rise up, there's something going to happen within you because you're coming before Him. And as we stand before Him, Eddie, all transformation is made available to us. When we stand before Him, all the power and the glory of Christ begins to wrap around us. The life of Christ begins to wrap around us. That radiance that He is, for He is the radiance of the Father's glory. That radiance that He is begins to wrap around us, begins to come forth within us, and begins to emanate from us because we're standing with Him. And it changes even the very thought basis that we have in our life. We have again given a new nature. We've been given a new life. And we've been given a new law. And you know, all my Christian life, no one never looked at that way. But the law of the Spirit of life came to change and address the situations around me. I knew it existed, but it was never apparent what the effect of it was. And the effect of it is that it begins to change all the things that follow after. Ephesians 4:22 says that in reference to your former manner of life or your old self, lay aside the old self, which have been corrupted in accordance with its lust of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. We've been renewing in the spirit of our mind with many different ways, with confession, with acknowledgement, and all those things are good. But what I'm saying now is that we can renew in the spirit of our mind by understanding that there's a new law that's come into effect. When we stepped over the line of grace and stepped into this thing called being alive in Christ, being one and in unity with Christ, when we stepped into this newborn Christian experience, this new birth experience, we stepped into a new law. Unfortunately, no one ever told us this new law existed, so we've been allowing the old law to dominate our thought and position. And devils are legalistic. As long as you allow them to operate in the stolen system, as long as you allow them to be a squatter, they'll continue to squat on what was instead of what is. Until we enforce it, they're going to continue to operate in our life as if the new law didn't exist. Because no one's going to make them get off. So what we have to recognize is there are, what did Cho say? He said they're illegal parking. I wish I could do his accent, but illegal parking. See, they're squatting on your territory. They're squatting on your freedom. They're squatting on your possession. They're squatting on your future. Because they don't have a right, because the new law has already been declared, but no one came along to enforce it, to say, you're trespassing, go. Serve them an eviction notice today. Serve them an eviction notice today. In our old nature, sin is the default access. In our new nature, fortified by the new law, this new law, the Spirit of life, becomes the default, giving us access to Christ, giving us access into the very throne room. See, being renewed in the spirit of our mind is not just about putting in better information. We've done a lot of that. That's what confession is. And there's nothing wrong with it. I am not knocking confession because confession changed my life. Confession saved me. But I'm saying there's something even greater. It's not just about new information. It's not just about instilling truth for old lies. There's a new law being present that I can activate when I understand that it's there. It's not just about changing our beliefs. It's time to change the law that we stand under. Because see, I fully and completely believe in changing our belief system and renewing our belief system and understanding the lies that we've been operating in. That's what sozo is all about. And I understand that and I fully concur with those things. But at the same time, I'm recognizing now that there's a new law that I need to step into. The law of the Spirit of life. Because when I step into the law of Spirit of life, now then I have a basis to begin to understand this new truth in my life. I have a basis to begin to enforce the new truth in my life. I have a basis to understand and enforce the new revelation in my life. Because the Spirit of life now begins to command and call forth things on my behalf. Even if I don't understand what those things are, it'll command and begin to change certain things about how I interact with the rest of the world. We live in a very fallen world. There are so many things that are coming out as an effect of the fallen world around us. It is very easy to be conformed to the world around us. But God says, I have a new plan. I have a new plan. And I not only this, but I've instilled that long before you ever even came into existence. He's showing us once again that He will always be there with us. He'll not fail us nor forsake us because, see, He instilled this even before we thought to ask for it or look for it. Because we have the Spirit of life. Romans 8:6 says this. It says, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset on the Spirit of life in Christ results in peace. It results in life. Christ was what? The way, the truth, and the life. And this is how we begin to have that same effect in us. Recognizing that this way and truth and life is available to us because we have given it access and acknowledgement within us. Because we're allowing Him to now kick out the trespassers. I believe this is going to change some things about how I do so-and-so. Because, see, when we understand this foundation, it begins to address some things on its own. Why? Because now we can begin to understand what it means when it says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, it says, we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ came what? Because of the Spirit of life that was within Him. And when the Spirit of life is within Him, guess what? When the demoniac showed up and came up to Him, the demoniac trembled, not Jesus. When you have the mind of Christ, I think that's going to be another message, but when you have the mind of Christ, then walking on water is not really a problem. It's just another stroll in the park. Because the supernatural is natural in that mind of Christ. Because in the mind of Christ, things can begin to take a different shape. And the life of Christ gets to be manifest in the way that it was created to be manifested. The life of Christ begins to be manifested when our mind is renewed with that life. What's holding you back right now? What holds you back? For most people, if they're going to be honest, they're going to say fear. The fear of rejection. The fear of stepping out, the fear of being hurt, fear of failing, fear of somebody's going to see me, whatever it is. Those things affect everyone. It holds you back. But that doesn't exist in the mind of Christ. It doesn't exist in the mind of Christ. Most of our sin issues are the result of a wrong belief system. But guess what? Wrong belief systems don't exist in the mind of Christ. We believe something about ourselves or something about the world around us that is, and now then our way of coping is to go into a drug addiction, or our way of coping is to do all sorts of other things that then all of way basically become a sin issue. Sometimes it's things that happen to us. or things that we expect to happen that don't happen. For example, depression. Why? Depression comes because something that didn't happen. A goal got blocked. We believed for something and it didn't happen. We had a recent election here, or a recent referendum that passed in the city of Houston that, you know, it's a place that it's depressing to see that this people would actually vote for something that's so ungodly. If you allow it, it can take you to a place of depression. But we don't have to allow for that to happen in our life. Because, see, we can understand who Christ is. But we first have to know and take a look at this thing that's operating within us. Is it just a temporary emotion, or is it a stronghold? If it's a temporary emotion, you don't have to attach your faith to that result. See, our faith is to be attached to our Creator. When we attach our faith to the Creator, then we're not going to be disappointed. I didn't like the outcome of that referendum, but my faith is in God. My faith was never in the outcome of this referendum in the first place. My faith is in God. When my faith is in the right place, I'm not disappointed. My job in any situation is to pray and let God do what He chooses to do. I pray. I be an example. I do those things that God put in my jurisdiction and my sphere of influence to do, and then I let Him determine the result. And I don't have to take responsibility for it, and I don't have to go in depression over it. A lot of times, we go into depression. When depression becomes a stronghold, it's because we have something that's going on in our life that created anger that we never dealt with. And when we don't deal with it, then that suppressed rage now begins to have other issues and create other issues within our emotions and within our life. And as it does so, depression is a natural outcome and result. When that happens, now we need some help. It's not just a matter of changing what we're thinking. It's a matter of changing the thing that we're standing under. When we stand under the law of the Spirit of life and no longer under the law of the Spirit of death, sin and death. When we begin to stand under that, now we have something we can enforce in our life that begins to be a greater law and begins to give us the lift to get us up and out of the depression and into the place of hope and into the place of faith and into the place of joy that we were supposed to be in. Does that make it to where you can see it? The law of the Spirit of life will help you to see and accept who you really are. Because it's absolutely necessary for you to know who you really are to change. Because if you only see yourself one way and you only see yourself poor, broken, disgusted, then what's the outcome going to be? Poor, broken, disgusted. When you see yourself as you really are, when you see yourself as victorious, when you see yourself as overcomer, when you see yourself as walking in Christ, when you see yourself as anointed, now those things can begin to come into your life. LaRue knows this, but at one point early on, I used to be jealous of him because I would see all this favor come his way. I told him that the other day. He said, "I know. You told me before." See, all that favor come his way. Well, the reality was, what I began to do is, number one, I had to let go of the offense. I had to realize, you know what? That's not his fault. And if I'm not getting it, that's my fault. When I recognized that, then what happened? Then I began to recognize that as I do this, then I can look and do the same things he did, which is speak the favor and grace over your life. Speak and continually look to favor and grace in your life. And it doesn't mean that every day is going to be a cherry day, but it means that you're going to work your way into that favor and grace. It means that every day that God is bringing you a little closer because the Spirit of life is now able to come into concert with you. And when it comes into concert and agreement with you, and you're in agreement with it, favor comes forth. Grace comes forth. And you know what? The jealousy that I used to operate in, it isn't there anymore. I don't need it anymore. Amen? Amen. This is how it works. The Spirit of life begins to affect that which is around us. Lift is greater than gravity when it begins to come into your life. Spirit of life is greater than the spirit of sin and death. I no longer need the sin of jealousy in my life. Because now I can get and acquire or do whatever it is that God wants me to do. Because I'm trusting and I'm putting my faith in Him. And I'm allowing the Spirit of life to come to work on my behalf. When I address a stronghold in my life, when I address a stronghold and I begin to submit this stronghold to the Spirit of life, now I can have an expectation that there's something greater going to happen out of this change of position. See, you've had a positional truth that's been standing over your life all this time. But until you begin to stand under that positional truth, until you come into alignment with that positional truth, it was just another thing that was out there. God wants to do something in us and bring us into a place of a greater restoration. It says this in Romans 8 and 21, that we are free from slavery to corruption. But we've been freed from slavery to corruption. We'll just go there real quick. I'm just reading a paraphrase, but let's read the actual. That the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption and into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. He's called to you, and He's called to you with the Spirit of adoption. And the Spirit of adoption is the result of the Spirit of life being released on your behalf. Spirit of life has been released to you, and so now you've been born again into this family. And as you're born again into this family, there's a life that comes with that. There's a change of address that comes with that. I'm no longer in, when there's a change of address, I'm no longer in the camp of sin. I'm no longer in the camp of the habits of the past. I'm no longer in the camp of the old man or the old expression or the old nature. But now I can begin to jump in to the camp of the newness of life. The refreshing that comes with life. The refreshing and the newness that comes from knowing that Christ and His Spirit is alive in me. That I can come into the acknowledgement that I'm a child of God. Because I've been set free from the slavery to the sin, now I can begin to acknowledge what God is doing in my life. Sin might be crouching at my door, but as a child of God, I have the right to keep the door closed. As a child of God, I have an understanding that that door can just be sealed. The authority, the key of David has been given to you. The key of David has been given to you. But the whole idea is that you have the ability to set sin outside the camp. Outside the camp. Because within you, there's nothing left within you that wants to do damage with this thing. There's nothing left within you that wants to participate with that thing, whatever it might be. Whether it's the brownie or whatever. Hallelujah. The new law is already fulfilled in your spirit. What we're allowing and bringing to the forefront is for you to allow your soul to come into alignment with what is already in your spirit. Because our soul has to come into alignment, or else our actions will continue to come out of our old habit. So when we're renewing ourselves to this, you know, I believe, and I've seen just in the last few days, I believe that God can do things out of this awakening just because we choose to acknowledge the awakening. As we acknowledge Him in the Spirit of life and the operation of the Spirit of life, that He will begin out of that operation and that acknowledgement addressing the other things that have been going on behind the scenes underneath the strongholds. I believe that He can do that on your behalf. When you acknowledge His Spirit, when you acknowledge that life, then that life can begin to touch every area within you, even the ones that have been hidden underneath strongholds. Let me close with this at Colossians 3. We were there a little while ago. Remember, this is where we were hidden with Christ, and then we're going to put aside the old man, the old self with his evil practice, and put on a new man, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And in verse 12, and so those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, when you put on the Spirit of life, you begin to understand who you really are. When you put on the Spirit of life, when you're allowing the Spirit of life to begin to override and take its proper place, you can begin to take your proper place as a chosen one. Because when you understand that you're chosen, you also can begin to recognize that that brings me into a place of being qualified as holy and beloved. Until I recognize that first, the rest of it's not going to matter to me. But when I recognize that I'm holy and beloved, now all of a sudden I can actually come into a place of security and safety in God. I no longer need all the other mechanisms that I've been using to protect myself with. I no longer need all the other mechanisms that I've been using to deal with life around me. The defensiveness that I used to feel and used to act out of in order to cover up the insecurities, I don't need it anymore because the insecurity went away. When I got saved, the alcohol and other issues in my life, they just went away. Why? Because I began to experience a newness of life like I'd never known before. And it dealt with the underlying fears that were causing me to want to do these other behaviors. We have children present, or I can outline those behaviors more explicitly for you. It's not necessary. You're adults, you can get the idea. It doesn't matter what your issue is. God can begin to bring it into being because He begins to change our understanding of who we are. So it says, to those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, and to say, that's me, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let peace of God rule in your heart, to which you indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So what we say earlier, that the life set on the Spirit of the life in Christ, is life and peace. And we see those coming forth in these verses also. When we begin to step into an awareness of what has been given to us, there's a life and peace that result in our life. There's a greater law that's available to us, and let's put it into play. Life and peace. Life and peace. I told you that I had a new favorite verse. And it says this, 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal of the instruction is love. The goal of the instruction is love. It doesn't matter what the instruction is. When the instruction is originating out of the throne room of God, the goal of that instruction is love. Why? Because in that process, God is creating you to be more like Him. The goal of His instruction is love. And the goal, therefore, of our instruction, when we begin to instruct and deal with one another, as we begin to interact with one another, and as we teach and release, then the goal of that instruction is love. Because that's the thing that is going to put us all where we need to be. It gives us something to relate to and to relate out of with the world around us. The goal of the instruction is love. There's a greater law that we've been given. The greater law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Out of that, we can begin to put on the mind of Christ. Out of that, we can begin to interact with a new hope. Out of that, we can begin to realize that I'm not just having to renew myself with new information, but I renew myself by standing in agreement with this law. Hallelujah. Amen.